This is an EVP. This is an EVP. These were recorded by the Long Island Ghost Hunting Team. Light. To hear more, come listen to Light Paranormal Radio. Go to lightparanormal.com and subscribe to us in iTunes.
No, I heard a woman's voice.
You heard a woman's voice?
Yeah.
What is that?
Sounds like hello.
Shadow governments, strange rituals, new world
shadow
order.
Governments, strange
buried
rituals.
Treasures.
New
planetary
mind
control,
strange
military cover-up,
shadow government, strange rituals, new world order, buried treasures, planetary mind control,
presidential assassination, out there. It's a strange world.
Visit outthereradio.net for more information.
Yeah.
Interested in ghosts, UFOs? How about the occult? Are you psychic? Would you like to find out? Well, if you're intrigued by the world's curiosities and all that is paranormal, then Paralore.com is a place for you. Create your own profile, start a photo album, write a blog, or just hang out and watch countless hours worth of paranormal videos while chatting with other Paralore members. Who knows? You could win a prize or two if you're quick and brave enough. It's all here, and it's all free. Visit www.paralore.com and join today. Again, membership is free, and we know you won't be disappointed.
Paralore.com. Unlock your mind.
Hey, we're back to Ghostly Talk, sponsored by Joey's Ectoplasm Cleaners. You bought it, we starved it.
And this is a real treat.
Yes, it is.
Because SkepCop is a group of paranormal researchers, investigators, writers, and parapsychologists who wish to counter and expose the pseudo-skeptical movement for their fallacies, dismissal, denial, censorship, suppression, misinformation, bigotry, and ridicule toward all unorthodox evidence, experience, and data that challenge the orthodoxy or do not fit into a materialistic reductionist paradigm. They do not support every quack claim on the planet, but advocate true skepticism, objectivity, open-mindedness, and fairness toward paranormal and unorthodox evidence, experiences, and data. SkepCop is the world's first organized counter-pseudo-skeptic group, providing resources, articles, books, videos, and an online community exposing the fallacies and psychology of pseudo-skepticism.
Wow.
The website, as I mentioned before, is www.debunkingskeptics.com. And we have to welcome back to Ghostly Talk after many years. We have to welcome back Winston Wu. Welcome back to Ghostly Talk.
Thanks, guys, for having me again.
It's really good. And you're in the Philippines now also, from what I understand, correct?
Yeah, that's where Art Bell is, I heard.
Yeah, he roams around there, too, I suppose.
And thanks to the wonders of technology here with Skype, we're able to talk to you. You are in the Philippines as we speak right now. You're not vacationing. You live there. So you're talking to us all the way from the Philippines about this thing. And I have to ask you really quick, briefly, before we get into the meat of this, because I know there's a lot of meat in this. The Philippines, I mean, how is it out there? Is it nice? How's the weather out there? I just have to ask this question. How is the weather in the Philippines?
Oh, well, it's warm virtually every day of the year, pretty much, and so that's great. It's never cold here, and the thing is, sometimes it's humid, so it gets sweaty and hot, and you need a lot of air conditioning stuff.
That's what we need here right now. It's about 92 degrees right now, and we're sweltering. It's miserable out there. It's terrible. It's really cool to be out. I'm glad you're out there, and I'd like to visit that country someday. Hopefully, I'll be able to get out there sometime. Now, SkepCop. This is the first of its kind, from what I understand. Why don't we just dive into this thing? You created the site, am I correct, Winston?
That's right.
You created this whole. The whole movement, this whole idea.
It must have started, Winston. I remember meeting you the first time because you had written an incredible article. Kind of thing about skeptics and their thinking patterns, their motivations, their arguments that they use, and showed how the arguments that they use don't hold up, and so I know that you were always interested in skeptics and how they think and what they're going to say. So this is taking it to the next level and saying, hey, folks, there's other folks out there who noticed this too. Let's get together. And so tell me about the SkepCop Coalition and how the idea formed.
Well, you hit the nail on the head. Back in 2001, I wrote the first really long treatise debunking the arguments of pseudo-skepticism, and it was the first of its kind back then, as far as I knew. And And so after I wrote that, I kind of eased off and took a break from that. And then a few years later, I started getting into it again, and I realized that a lot was going on. And since then, a lot more articles had been written about skepticism and pseudo-skepticism. And I found out that, there was a big debate between skeptics and believers, and the skeptics had their own website. The believers, paranormal supporters had their own sites, but there was no real counter-pseudo-skepticism movement or website. And so I realized that I could put my skills and experience and knowledge in debating skeptics into creating the first movement and site. And that would be something new and different and unique, rather than just having another paranormal board, which there's already plenty of. And so I realized that there was a demand for this, because there's a lot of people out there that are opposed to the pseudo skepticism fallacies. And so I put that all into use and created SkepCop, thought up the name and consulted with a few of my friends, and then just took my old material and gradually expanded upon it to include lots of more articles, links, and now a forum where people are contributing more material, and so far it's been great. The online community has multiplied since last month, and it's getting a lot of attention and positive feedback from the paranormal community, and so that's a good thing. It's gotten a lot more attention than I thought, and almost every day a new person registers on the forum, which is good, and they express their appreciation of this site, which they see as a middle ground between a staunch paranormal believers versus a staunch denialist.
Winston, I have to jump in, because I also feel that way. I think that just as much as, skeptical folks can, they throw out the same old stuff over and over, I think on the other side of the coin, staunch paranormal enthusiasts and believers are throwing out very similar kinds of rhetoric. And so I really think that there needs to be, and there needed to be, now there is, thank you, somebody to say, hey, look, you can't just throw out the rhetoric, you can't utter these things without, proof, or without, it being a real valid argument. You have to, it has to be both ways. So you guys have to give and take, and so do you guys. And I think that would, if you're sailing on a turbulent ocean, right, anything can and will happen and does. And that's what it is now. If you build a harbor around it and say, build out a harbor and then tool around in there, at least everybody's on a level playing field. So if you throw out a claim like there is no such thing as ghosts, you better be ready to defend that logically and accurately. And if you throw out a claim, oh, ghosts exist, ghosts, I know this, I prove it, I can prove it, then you better prove it. Either way, you have to have logical and complete arguments, not rhetoric. So it's about time that somebody came up with SkepCop. So thank you very much. I appreciate it. What about very, very staunch? You must get like the extreme. Have you talked to extreme skeptics and extreme, I know believers isn't the right word, but extreme paranormal believers or enthusiasts, and who don't like to say, hey, I'm not, or who will not play on a level playing field?
Well, yeah, I've gotten all types, and I mean, on the paranormal side, there's definitely some charlatans and people who are out for showmanship and who are making a profit off of it. And some of them, you know, are probably just, you know, performers or entertainers and not really true psychics. And there's extremism on both sides. But the bottom line is that the overall weight of evidence for some paranormal phenomenon, like ghosts, which is what you guys study, and ESP, for example, those have a ton of evidence in the form of scientific experiments and anecdotal evidence, which are, you know, reports and testimonies and personal experiences. And recently I discovered a statistic from the National Science Foundation that said that at least 50 or 60% of Americans say that they believe that some people do have psychic abilities, and probably a lot of them have experienced it too. So if at least half the people in the world have experienced something, you know, then it's almost certain that there's something to it. So the anecdotal evidence is pretty much is almost proof in and of itself. And we also have a lot of scientific evidence dating back from the 40s with J.B. Ryan, and then right now we have Dr. Gary Swartz and Dr. Charles Tard, and for many years we had the Ganzfeld experiments, the Otto Ganzfeld experiments, and the PEAR, Princeton Engineering Anomalies Research, which studied telekinesis and mind over matter. So there's so much, you know, evidence, and it's a huge fallacy that these pseudo skeptics continually say that there's no evidence when there is, and they're just ignoring it and becoming deaf about it. From talking to other people dealing with pseudo skeptics and reading more articles, what I've found that I didn't mention in our last interview was that what these skeptics are in reality are defenders of dogmatism and orthodoxy and materialism, you know, not true inquirers, because as someone said, if you're only skeptical about things that you don't believe in, then everybody is a skeptic, and the term is meaningless. A real skeptic, you know, is skeptical of his own beliefs and also that of materialism and orthodoxy. But these skeptics are not like that. They're only skeptical of things they don't believe. So the term is meaningless. And then my friend John Bennett showed me something from Wikipedia, which if you look under skepticism, it says that Pyro, the founder of skepticism, the original founder of the term, said that skepticism is about open inquiry and suspension of judgment. And so an open inquirer asks questions to find out the truth, and they suspend their judgment. So in other words, they're non-judgmental, but these guys are the exact opposite of that. They're judgmental. They claim that all claims of ghosts, for example, are either due to misperception, delusion, or hallucination, or fraud. And the same with ESP stories. They're all fraud, misperception, delusion, etc. And so that's definitely closed-minded and judgmental, and that's the exact opposite of suspending belief, and that's the complete antithesis of the original meaning of the word skepticism. That's a huge thing. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, yeah. You know, I think the bottom line what really comes along here with skeptics is that I think a good skeptic would be able to admit that they're wrong sometimes. I think that's what it really comes down to with a lot of this stuff, is that you get a lot of backing and forthing. And, you know, look, I'm as skeptical as they come when it comes to a lot of things. But when I've seen some of the stuff that I know I've seen when it comes to ghost hunting, let's just say, for example, I've seen some stuff that I'm like, okay, look, you know, we've got some stuff that I'm like, okay, look, I can't explain this thing. And I'm trying to punch as many holes as I can, and I can't. And I can admit, I think what a lot of people do, and I think a lot of this will put push into politics, too. We've had a lot of people on this show in the past that have ideas that are breaking new ground, but they are getting constant resistance from another side that, let's be frank, they have a big stake in it staying the way it should stay. You see, the idea is staying the way they should because they have a big stake in that. If they don't, if they go and change this whole thing, it's going to uproot everything they've been working on their entire lives. So that's where I think a lot of this pseudo-skepticism comes from, is from people that just don't want to listen because they know it won't be beneficial to them.
Right, but you're not supposed to bring your personal agenda into it.
Of course
it.
Not, I mean, but you're not going
to
admit that either.
Look at evidence. And unfortunately, there's different levels of evidence because right now, for ghosts and UFOs and Bigfoot and that kind of thing, essentially we've got a lot of anecdotal evidence, a lot of testimony. And testimony is, while it can be considered evidence in a court of law, right, it's not evidence for a scientific peer-reviewed journal, right? Like, you can't say, oh, well, you know, all of my patients claimed they felt better after I hit them in the head with a brick. So I'm going to publish that in the New England Journal of Medicine, you know. And the New England Journal of Medicine would be like, okay, you know, the benefits of hitting, you know, patients in the head with a brick. And they'll be like, no. That's just not, I mean, I think they were just probably scared of you at that point. And they'll say anything to get out of your office. But you know, I mean, you can't just throw any idea out there and have the scientific community accept it. However,
I agree with that.
We've noticed just over the past couple of days, Scott, haven't we, that where the scientific community has been wrong.
Very wrong.
They have been wrong. And they don't come out and say, oh, I'm sorry, we were wrong. They just come out with a new study, right? For example, I was looking at, I don't know, this could be touchy, because it's not a topic you... It's a medical procedure, so I'm just going to go and say it.
Yeah.
Circumcision, right? I watched the thing about
circumcision.
Penn and Teller's BS show on Showtime on circumcision,
and
it's a medical procedure. It's done usually by doctors or by religious practitioners, and what happens is it will. They told me for years and years and years, right? Oh, well, it's clean. It you get less urinary tract infections, you get less this, less that. It's all better, right? Make everything better if you just get, you know, and you don't even feel it. And yet now, of course, they're finding out that, no, it's just kind of more like personal preference at that point. Because there's no evidence, no studies whatsoever that show that it's worse, that you're worse off if you keep that foreskin. So what happens is it's just... convenient for the time, right? And the same thing can happen for ghosts and for ESP and for Ouija boards and telepathy and psychokinesis. The same thing can be going on. Whatever's convenient for the time, not actual fact, on both sides of the argument. That's my argument. So,
yeah, well, politics definitely comes into play, and one of the top parapsychologists named Dean Radin, who wrote The Conscious Universe and also Entangled Minds, actually spoke a lot about this. He's actually in touch with a lot of mainstream scientists, and he found out that in mainstream science there's actually a taboo against the paranormal, against ghosts or ESP. And in reality, a lot of scientists actually believe in this stuff, but they can't publicly admit it, or else their career could be in jeopardy, and then they lose their reputation among their colleagues, and they can't get funding or an advancement, which would be in jeopardy because of that. So there's definitely a taboo against this stuff, and with all the studies and the controlled experiments and the meta-analysis, if this evidence had been for something else, it would have been accepted according to him. But because it's in a taboo field, and then it's which science can't explain, then it's not accepted. And some others have described this as the process of knowledge filtration, which means they only want it. You know, knowledge gets filtered through certain lenses, and of course scientists have to appease their funders too. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you saw this article recently that where it's posted on my homepage, where they found that 1 in 7 scientists admit that they know another scientist that faked data in order to appease their funders.
Anybody who does that should be disbarred, whatever it may be called. That has to be that in any type of discipline. It seems like that would be the most gross example of misconduct you could ever think of.
But it happens all the time, and sometimes it happens for different reasons. I mean, I can't see, you know, out and out lying. That I cannot see. But I mean, look at statistics alone, and a lot of science is statistics. Statistics can be manipulated to show the outcome that you desire.
Yeah.
I mean, it just happens. I mean, I've read so many diet studies because I've been struggling with diets for years. And smoking studies. But I've read all these studies, and you see all this proof and evidence and analyses, right? And they come to a conclusion, right? Then you go to another one, and they go, well, I would like to refer to this other study. It's the one that I had just read, right? Where they proved all this stuff. I mean, what was it? The nurses' study or something was the big one in diet, right? They came out with, oh, calorie counting is the big one. And so what happens is that they say the problem is, you know, once they had their data set, they went and selectively pick and choose what data they want out of that data set. You know, here's your weight from the beginning of the study to the end of the study. Well, I'm going to throw out, you know, like, these weights because they don't help me, and I'm going to throw out these weights because they don't help me, and these weights, and then now I'm left with a subset of my data set, and then they run the analysis on that. Well, that doesn't sound very scientific.
Not at all.
But they let them do it. You know, they let them do it. It absolutely happened. It's just something that goes on. And people look and they go, well, if I had a similar data set, maybe I would have to throw out some stuff, some observations. So I'm going to go ahead and allow them to throw that out, and I believe now calories are the big thing. And there you go. That's the that's how you end up with a flawed study, just like that.
Yeah.
And it happens in everything. And when it happens in the paranormal, unfortunately, our data sets are weak to begin with, right?
Weak?
Well,
non-existent.
Yeah. Are weak or non-existent to begin with.
Yeah.
And then, except for what was happening at J.B. Ryan, you know, with J.B. Ryan and Charles Tart and all that.
Yeah.
Except for the hardcore researchers, we've got no data sets. We have a bunch of photos and a bunch of tape recordings, right?
It is weak, but it's consistent, and that's the bottom line. It's been consistently replicated, like with the pair experiments. For 30 years, they've been demonstrate a statistical and consistent effect of mind over matter. But it is weak, yeah, you're right. But as long as it's consistent and statistically the odds are like billions to one, then it means something.
Well, statistically, the odds are that we have gone over. We need to take our break. sadly, Winston, but you know what? Hang on, we're going to talk with you for another half hour after this break.
Yeah.
On Ghostly Talk, of course, our breaks are independent music, and I want everyone to listen to independent music and enjoy it and see if there's something that you like in our breaks, because the artists are working hard and putting out.
We're working hard on iTunes. This heat's killing us.
Yeah, and it's hot in here, just like in the Philippines.
It
is hot out today. So we'll be back with more from Winston Wu. Again, the website, www.debunkingskeptics.com. We'll be back with more after this independent musical break.
Ghostly Talk!
What are we made of? Why do I get sick? How can I live a more balanced and whole life? These are just a few of the questions explored each week by naturopath, medical intuitive, and clairvoyant Dr. Rita Louise on Just Energy Radio. Explore your possibilities every Friday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. Join us at JustEnergyRadio.com.
Wondering where you can get the latest news and reviews from the world of paranormal entertainment? Frank and Laura take a look at the latest happenings and break down what's new on TV and at the movies each week on Spooktacular, your paranormal entertainment roundup. Check them out by searching for Spooktacular in iTunes or head on over to Spooktacular.com. Oh yeah, be sure to bring along a friend because no one should listen alone.
Wolfman Mac from Wolfman Mac's Nightmare Cinema. We're hanging out at the Haunted Winery here in Warren, Michigan with the good folks from Ghostly Talk. Oh, this place is creepy, man, but nowhere near as creepy as Wolfman Mac's Nightmare Cinema. It's a haunted drive-in, babies. And you know what we do there? We host classic B-horror and sci-fi movies, just like the ones you grew up with when you was a kid. But it's at Wolfman Mac's Nightmare Cinema right now, hosting on public access TV all over Metro Detroit. But guess what, kiddies? It's coming to you, and all you got to do is have a computer. Just go to Wolfman Max Nightmare Cinema. It's nightmarecinema.com. We'll be broadcasting the show real soon, right from the website. Stay tuned. It's Wolfman Max Nightmare Cinema. Bye. You're listening to Ghostly Talk with your hosts, Doug, Scott L., and Bonnie.
Skype cracks me up sometimes. Because, you know, we'll be doing this show, and you guys can see what's going on the computer screen here during the show. But every once in a while, you get pop-up messages, you know, he's like, hey,
check out my webcam!
Or, you know, or, touch me, feel me, whatever, you know,
there's
something like
that. There's got to be
and
a way to turn
that off.
And that's
just
for me. I got one here from Carlo Adpro.
Carlo Adpro, yeah.
Hello, are you interested in paranormals? So apparently there's more than one paranormal out there, because he said it in plural. There's multiple paranormals out there.
I'm interested in all of them.
Yeah, so
yes.
I'm not going to respond to that. I'm just going to keep on doing this, doing the show called Ghostly Talk, and I'm Scott L.
I think that's great. I'm Doug.
And I'm Bonnie.
Now, we're talking to Winston Wu here just about the pseudo-skeptics and things like that. Something new to really look at, and Winston's the man to look at that.
Well, one thing is absolutely true, Winston. The paper that you wrote in 2001 was absolutely groundbreaking. I don't know of another one similar to it. I don't know of any. I mean, I know that since then people have decided to, analyze the excuses that people make to absolutely flat out not even consider paranormal stuff as actually paranormal or actually normal in this case.
Yeah.
So the skeptics will just simply flat out, you know, spout the same rhetoric, and unfortunately, a lot of those things are very difficult to, to counter. But you thought about them all. You took the number of excuses that you had seen over and over again, and you thought about them, and you wrote the paper about them, and how they can be countered, and how they themselves are not great excuses or great arguments against the paranormal or the phenomena that people are reporting. And so that was groundbreaking work, Winston, and I believe so is this, www.debunkingskeptics.com, a marvelous outgrowth of your research into skeptical excuses. I'm going to call them excuses.
Yeah.
Because that's what they are. They're excuses as to...
Well, not, I mean, let's be fair, not every single thing is just some excuse thrown out there, you know, just because I don't want to believe in the paranormal, so I'm going to make up every ridiculous excuse there is to not believe in the paranormal. There have been some, I think it's happened to us personally. There have been some very interesting things that people have said, like, okay, look, let me explain this to you with zeros and ones, with blacks and whites, okay, as to why this is not, in my opinion, a true photograph or whatever of a ghost. And they've explained things, in my opinion, very, very, I mean, without
right.
throwing out the stupid, look, hey, this isn't a ghost. Ghosts don't exist. You know what I mean?
Right.
I think they've done a good job of, a lot of people do a good job of being skeptical.
Yes. Well, I think also that, and I think also that Winston has put together an incredible resource for people who aren't necessarily all the way into being skeptical or aren't necessarily all the way into being a true paranormal believer and researcher. So, you know, you've put this together, Winston, and you provide all kinds of interesting resources to people. What has been, have people told you stories about how they have benefited from debunkingskeptics.com?
I'm sorry.
Yeah, Winston, are you next to a furnace or something? Are you next to a furnace or something, Winston?
No, okay, I can hear you better now. What was that last line again? Yeah. Last question again?
What are some examples? Have you talked to anybody who's actually benefited or opened their mind or said, hey, you know, I'm so glad I ran across debunkingskeptics.com because this and that and the other thing. Like, I then went to a debate and you know, was able to... you know, hold my own or benefit from all the, you know, the articles, books, videos, the news that you put up there. You know, it's obviously a very active website with, you know, people learning from it every day. So is there, you know, do you have an example of a story where somebody said, you know, hey, this really worked for me. I'm glad that I was on your site and I learned all this stuff because whatever. I was able to tell my grandmother that, you know, she was full of it when she said that there were no such thing as the boogeyman. You know, something like that.
Well, yeah, there have been stuff, I mean, there have been reports like that. I mean, like I said, every day there's people coming onto the forum expressing their appreciation of this site and also on a lot of paranormal blogs and websites, SkepCop has been mentioned and there's a lot of people that oppose the pseudo-skeptics like Randy and Psychop and Shermer who come and say, oh, we've needed a site like this for a long time and so they appreciate that. Because and I take a lot more of a middle ground and try to be a lot more objective about it than other sites. So people appreciate that and they appreciate that you know, I expose a lot of the fallacies of pseudo-skepticism, which it's hard to summarize all of it here on this show. You kind of have to go to the homepage and read each of the entries and links on the sidebars to read all the fallacies and flaws and misinformation. But yeah, there's been a lot of positive feedback, and some people have said that it helped them, and some people have said that they've used it as a handbook to debate skeptics, and some people just say it's confirmed everything they felt the whole time, and they're glad that I put it into a crystallized form that you know, they can document and read over that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we've talked about, you know, briefly here, a few minutes ago, we talked about maybe some of the reasons that people, like, you know, pseudo-skeptics would want to just punch one hole after another haphazardly and maybe some really good evidence.
Right, we talked about politics and we talked about money and funding and we talked about, you know, the different reasons why they would want to just hold that line and keep, what are they doing? Profit... Not, that's the wrong word. Evangelizing the same rhetoric over and over. But then again, I've seen it on the other side too. Remember orbs? I mean, for the longest time, every orb was a ghost, and that's just not true. It's dust, you know. I mean, but people kept. I did it too. I'm like, well, you know. I mean, I did it in a little sort of a cushy way. I'd be like, well, you know, a lot of people say that that's a form of energy and that it's a, you know.
Well, there has...
But it wasn't, you know. But so it's been on both sides of the fence.
We did shows years ago on orbs.
Yeah, exactly.
Listen to them. They're out there. We're learning just like anybody else is. There's shows from 2002 where we were looking at an orb going, wow, look at that thing. Doesn't that look cool? I got that at Mansfield Reformatory. And it's probably crap now.
Right, it is.
But I think the big thing to keep in mind is that we can sit here right now and say it's probably crap now.
You
know?
Right.
We're open-minded enough to say that. And, you know, with the pseudo-skeptics, or, you know, and there are also, I think, people that believe way too much also. And it goes on both ends, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But with pseudo-skeptics in this discussion, I'm just wondering if there's any other reasons that they would do this. I mean, we know the political ones are probably, that's probably one of the biggest reason, is the political, is for political agendas and things like that.
Well, does it go into religion, Winston? I mean,
yeah, that's a good question.
Some scientists must also be religious. I mean, they were brought up in, you know, their families, and they probably had to do family things and go to church for things. Did maybe religion is a reason why a pseudo-skeptic would hold the hard line? I don't know. What other kinds of things keep them going?
Well, I wouldn't call it a traditional religion. It's more like a religious fanatical belief in materialism and in orthodoxy, and also a resistance to change and what we also call a faith-based disbelief. Because a lot of, you know, what they believe is based on their faith that the establishment is always right, and everything must have a mundane, materialistic explanation. And they also seem to hate mysteries. They hate saying, I don't know. They hate leaving things unexplained. And so they always want to find the simplest, mundane, boring explanation for everything. But you do make a good point that some people are too quick to believe in orbs or this and that, And I'm not saying that Skepkov or me and the other Skepkov members advocate that one should believe in everything they hear. I mean, and that's a complete straw man argument that pseudo skeptics use, is to say that we advocate believing in everything we hear. And in reality, no one I know has ever advocated that. And most people who experience something paranormal or have a paranormal experience, they tend to rule out all the natural explanations first before coming to a paranormal explanation. And that's the reality of the situation, but they don't see that. They think that everyone jumps to it without ruling that out first. And as far as orbs, though, I mean, those are things I consider unexplained, because some orbs are dust motes and some are lens flares, but there's some that are just unexplained, and some of them have been caught on camera moving too and doing weird motions. But In such cases, you just have to look at the possibilities and be non-judgmental about it. But to be judgmental and to say, oh, that's a fake immediately, or to say, oh, those are ghosts, I mean, it's not very objective to do that either. If you don't know, then you don't know. You just have to suspend your judgment. That's what true skepticism is about, and that's what I would advocate. You know, I don't advocate believing in something because someone says it, but
yeah.
But the bottom line is the overall evidence in totality from history till now is that, I mean, says that some paranormal phenomenon like ESP and ghosts, for example, have a lot of evidence behind it, not only from controlled scientific experiments, but from testimonials from credible down-to-earth people that were sober when they experienced them. And so, I mean, that says a lot.
This is not a field. I'm sorry, Winston. I have to say, this is not a field to get into this is not a field for knee-jerk reactions. Bottom line, I don't think you would be a good skeptic if you just made split second decision. Well, that's not. Now, there are times I think in this field, I know from experience. Did I just kick your knee, Doug? Sorry.
Yep.
I know from experience there are things that I've seen or traits, characteristics of people that I've noticed over the years that I can kind of go, yeah, been there, done that, not getting in the middle of that again. But that's from experience, though.
Mm-hmm.
For someone just to go, nope, I don't want to look at anything else. This is obviously not a ghost or whatever it may be. It is not a field for knee-jerk reactions. I think everything needs to be looked at and investigated to its fullest extent before you can come to even a conclusion that it may even be anomalous or whatever it may be, the photo or the EVP or whatever it may be. So that's a big thing. I think people just jump to conclusions way too quick here. For whatever reason it may be, whether it's political, whether it's religious, whatever their beliefs are. So, again, I think it's just, that's a big thing that people should take into account, that you just can't for whatever reason, you just can't jump. You don't talk about dark.
Well, what I do, because people bring me photos all the time of orbs, of, you know, of lens flare, of whatever, you know, and I see the photos, and I tell them, and this is what I tell them. I tell people, if unless I'm really excited about it, like, oh my gosh, I was so excited about the one that
Todd
showed us of, you know, the one at that place up on Mackinac Island.
Geez.
That really excited me. I know, but that really excited me. But there's other ones that come in, and I've seen these before, right? And I look at them, and I tell them, and I tell people, you know what? It's not going to hold up if you were to show this to a photographic expert, or if you were going to try and, you know, get this on your favorite cable channel as proof of the afterlife. It's not going to hold up,
no.
Right? However,
I'll have something have on there doesn't hold up anyways.
Well, that's true. But however, what the true meaning of this photograph is what you think it is. That's the true meaning. If you think that that was Grandpa Jones hovering over your little boy at Christmas, right?
Yeah.
There you go. Grandpa was visiting for Christmas. And nobody can take that away from you.
No.
Right? So I tell a lot of people that with their supposed evidence. And sometimes, you know, and I might be wrong. It may not have been Grandpa Jones, or it may have been Grandpa Jones, and either way I'd be wrong. But, you know, I just tell people to look at what it means to them. And use their own lives as the measuring stick. Because if you take it to a skeptic, they're going to just shoot holes in it left and right.
Yeah.
If you take it to the utmost believer, they could be like, oh my gosh, that was, you know.
That's it. Document this.
Yeah.
Part of the Sun News right now.
An angel, you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
And who knows what they could fill these people's heads with. So I try to, you know, take the middle ground and say, hey, ultimately what it means is what it means to you.
No, and that's at the end of the day. Now, that grand, though, I mean, the argument here is pseudo-skeptics, though. And
yeah, that's true.
And I agree. I mean, that's what I say, too, Doug. I agree with you 100%. I think what Winston's saying, though, too, is that there is evidence out there. And I mean, you've mentioned a couple of examples already, Winston. Let's go further in this because we only have a few minutes
left.
Yeah,
especially EST.
Yeah, ESP.
What are some of the studies, you know, the J.B. Ryan and Charles Tart and all these folks, they did all these laboratory studies. And, of course, you know, skeptics shoot holes in that. Oh, it wasn't completely controlled, this and that, the other thing. But what were some of these interesting, what studies interest you? And could any of them be revived with even more controls or something that might make skeptics and pseudo-skeptics happy?
Well, I don't think you can make pseudo-skeptics happy unless you come to a conclusion that they want, which is that psychic phenomenon doesn't exist and that the paranormal is impossible. And that's their fundamental belief. That's the bottom line. They believe that this stuff is impossible, so any evidence you present automatically gets rejected and rationalized away through a process called cognitive dissonance. But I mean the Gansfield experiments, for example, were the subject had these ping pong balls over their eyes, and then they guessed like one out of four these images were a sender was trying to transmit via telepathy to the receiver, and the receiver tried to pick one out of the four images that the sender was sending, and by chance that's 25% if you get one out of four, but they've consistently got higher than 25%, especially with artists, for example. And this study was done for several decades, and then it moved on to the Otto-Gansfeld, which is a computerized form of this. And of course, when the pseudo-skeptics looked at this, they started to nitpick it and find flaws. But the thing is, they consider it debunked. But in reality, what they've done is they've speculated on, you know, flaws and imperfections that they've seen or might have seen, like a file drawer effect or anything. But they haven't proven that their speculations are true. They've just made the speculations and said, oh, this is less than perfect, you know. And that's raising the bar to an impossible standard to expect that something is perfect. But, I mean, there were tight controls put on those experiments for sure. But to a pseudo-skeptic, any perceived or imagined flawed, or imagined flaw, from another pseudo-skeptic automatically labels the whole thing as debunked. So it, like you said, they're looking for excuses to debunk something, even if it's not an excuse that makes sense. So to them, it's like anything that's less than perfect is not valid. But the thing is, nothing in the universe is really perfect. So, I mean, nothing would be valid or reliable, because you're never going to find something that's perfect, you know. But, I mean, you can find good, strong evidence, but it's not going to be... I mean, there's nothing that's perfect in life or the universe. And so they use that as an excuse to dismiss it, because deep down they believe that it's impossible. So they obviously are coming in with an a priori belief, and that's the total antithesis of objectivity and logic and open-mindedness, and that's just obvious. And a lot of their fallacies are not even hard to figure out, because some of them just defy common sense too. To say that, you know, anecdotes are all invalid, for example, in reality. Anecdotes are not scientific proof, but they're evidence. They're part of the scientific process. With, you know, gathering data is the first stage of the scientific method, for example. I mean, one of the first stages is to gather data, and anecdotes are part of the raw data you gather to form a hypothesis. And that's what scientists do. And Dr. Peter Fenwick, one of the top researchers on near-death experiences, explained that to a caller once, which I just put up today on my website under the anecdotal evidence page. A lot of fallacies are just common sense go ahead.
I was just going to say, you've been like so incredibly diligent on this stuff and paying attention. I'm so incredibly happy that you took an interest in skeptics and how they think and how they make these arguments, or you know, pseudo skeptics, how they make these arguments, just to have to not even consider or care about all this evidence that has been piling up. I mean, literally, since the beginning of time,
yep.
There's been ghost stories. Since the beginning of time, there's been UFO stories. Since the beginning of time, there's been Bigfoot stories. I mean, they even, in cultures that are diminished, you know, down to practically nothing nowadays, that they're striving to keep these cultures alive, like, you know, the American Indian culture and other cultures down in South America. They have mythical creatures. Over time they've seen all this stuff happen, and yet instead of looking at that and saying, hey, what can we do about it, right? Mm. Let's study this, let's figure this out. They use all these, you know, this list of standard, yeah, you know, arguments. And so I'm glad that you thought of that way back then and published that paper, and now I'm so happy that you have debunkingskeptics.com, where people can go and actually talk about it and learn about this stuff. But unfortunately, we've used up our hour.
We just went through it.
That's how I know Winston is a font of information and absolutely a visionary. Yeah.
Well, I hope people visit my website, because, I mean, to be honest, I'm a far better writer than speaker, so if they see what I've written and all the arguments, I mean, they'll get a much better impression than me trying to summarize everything in a nutshell here, which is kind of difficult.
We were glad you were able to come visit us, though, Winston. It's been way too long, and I know this is my first time actually talking to you formally. I know Doug years ago.
I got to talk to you.
You got to talk to him. I wasn't out of the studio that night, so it was really good to finally talk to you. And we got to do it again, like much sooner. Okay.
Right. I know you're more comfortable behind the keyboard, but believe me, I just find you so fascinating, Winston. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. I really appreciate it, and it's always a pleasure to talk to you, and you guys have a great show and a great personality, too.
Well, thank you. Yeah, don't leave us just yet, okay?
Yeah, hang on the line for just a little bit.
Yeah, hang tight.
And I want everybody to go and bookmark www.debunkingskeptics.com. That's Winston's new website for SkepCop. And believe me, you can learn a lot about critical thinking there.
Yeah.
And that's what I want everybody to do.
That's what we're doing here. That's what we're doing here. That's why Objectivity. That's what we're doing here with the show is we're trying to, that's why we've been talking about cutting new ground and things like that. And Winston Wu, in my opinion, as far as having guests.
Fits right into cutting new ground.
It's a classic example of that. And thank you again, Winston. Hang on the line for one more second. Hang tight.
Coming up next on Ghostly Talk, Brian Allen, we're going to talk about the ancient code. So enjoy a little bit more of this independent music, because after we get back, it's going to be ancient code time, and that's big, big fun stuff.
For more info, visit ghostlytalk.com.